Most of what we know about early American history was discovered by reviewing written records, letters, diaries, and documents. That's where history professor Alan Taylor has found surprising details about Thomas Jefferson. Celebrated today, Taylor says Jefferson was a more controversial figure in his own time and not the only one deserving credit for the University of Virginia.
I found a trove of letters written by Francis W. Gilmer, who is another key figure, in that he was sent over to England to recruit the faculty, the first faculty for the university. He was considered by Jefferson to be the brightest young man in all of Virginia, and a real rarity in that Jefferson was very disappointed in the younger generation of Virginians.
But it turns out Gilmer was not so keen on Jefferson.
When you read Gilmer's own letters to his brother, they're quite scathing about Jefferson. Certainly many people admired him, but then there were these people who were, we would call, ultra-conservatives, like Francis Gilmer, who thought of Jefferson as a dangerous radical.
And toward the end of his life, Taylor says, Jefferson could be indiscreet.
Daniel Webster visits him. Daniel Webster's an important politician from Massachusetts. And Jefferson says some quite indiscreet and negative things about Andrew Jackson, who was a rising politician at the time.
In his younger years, Taylor says, the master of Monticello chose his words more carefully. But in his late 70s and early 80s, something had changed.
He's in very poor health, and he has to take a great deal of laudanum, which is an opiate, in order to cope with his pain. And so some of the more erratic things that he says and does in his last years, I think we can associate with the great pain he's in.
Less is known about Jefferson's slaves, and in the absence of written records, it's difficult to discern their history. But Lewis Nelson, a professor of architectural history, joined colleague Maury McGinnis and other contributors in looking at the design and construction of UVA. They learn, for example, how inventive slaves must have been in preparing three meals a day for more than 100 students.
In the attic of Pavilion 2, we found a really interesting series of nails, nails that were not in any way structural, aligned with the windows. We figured that they're actually probably drying spaces for herbs, which suggests to us the cellar kitchen, some garden out in the back, and this space are part of a circuit of spaces that the cook has to oversee as she is engaged in the delivery of a meal.
And Alan Taylor reports that as white men began planning the university, African Americans were lobbying for their own education.
At the same time the state legislature is debating setting up the University of Virginia, there is an effort by enslaved people here in Albemarle County to set up their own schools.
In the end, Taylor says, Virginia made it illegal for slaves to learn reading or writing.
A literate enslaved person can forge a pass to run away or can read anti-slavery literature.
Some slaves did learn to read and write in spite of the law. Again, Professor Lewis Nelson.
We know the extraordinary story of Isabella Gibbons, of course, at the moment of emancipation. She was an enslaved cook in Pavilion 6, but that after emancipation, she becomes one of the major educators in the Jefferson School.
Nelson's new book is called Educated in Tyranny, and Alan Taylor's latest publication is Thomas Jefferson's Education. In Charlottesville, I'm Sandy Houseman.